The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Michelle, would you like to come forward and let me pray for you? Lord Jesus, we pray now for Michelle. Pray that you would fill her with your spirit, and the words that she speaks would come from you and be filled with confidence and boldness. May we each hear something from you this morning through Michelle. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Morning, everybody.
If you get tired, you can sit down.
I'll persevere. First of all, an apology, Kim, because it was actually my idea to ask for somebody to keep their hands up in that song. And you notice I didn't volunteer. So when you're aching tomorrow, you can blame me. Well, every year, there are a number of new words that officially enter the English language. I wonder, would anyone like to shout out some guesses how many words you think, new words you think entered the English language last year? Anyone take a guess?
500.
500. Eight. Someone thinks over there? Yeah?
50.
Okay. Any more? 100. Well, they're all good guesses. But in January 2018, the Oxford English Dictionary announced that it had made over 1,100 new entries into the English language. Adjectives such as hangry and nouns such as mansplaining. Well, if you don't know what they mean, I'll leave you to look up their meanings, and you might want to challenge yourself, some of you, to go home and find some more. But similarly, each year, the English language loses words. Words may become obsolete for various reasons. They are underutilized, unwanted, or unloved. Victims, perhaps, of globalization. Foreign words take their place. Technological obscurity, so technology moves on, and the object that the word describes no longer exists. So I still talk about videoing my favourite programme. My children look at me wondering what on earth I'm on about. Sometimes they're just simply victims of changing fashions. It is suggested that 2 weeks is superseding fortnight, and partner is currently putting fiancé at risk. Well, I wonder if I might be so bold as to propose another word which is at risk of falling out of favour. And it's that word that we've been hearing a lot about this morning, perseverance. How can we be expected to persevere when we can lay our hands on any foodstuff, any item of clothing, or any material possession 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? When we can buy a jar of slimming pills, which if we consume just one each day for a few weeks, we can expect to lose as much weight as it might otherwise take several months of hard, painstaking diet and exercise to do. Or when we can end a lifelong friendship in just seconds by simply removing the person from our social media account? Why do we even want to persevere when there are quicker, easier, cheaper, and less sacrificial alternatives? And it isn't just in our everyday lives that we are tempted to do this. Sometimes in our prayer life too, we can be tempted to take shortcuts, to look elsewhere for answers, or to simply give up. Perseverance in prayer, as we see from Moses in our reading from Exodus, is not easy. Yet prayer is the fundamental foundation for a life of discipleship. And a life of discipleship requires commitment, sacrifice, and perseverance. Jesus modeled this himself, didn't he? Prayer was the breath that he breathed. It was so fundamental that he even taught us how to pray. It was the fuel of his ministry, woven into his life, into his whole life, the highs, the lows, and the everyday normal, right up to his last words on the cross. So how and why do we need to persevere in prayer? Well, let's look to the example of Moses from our reading. Battles and wars were not uncommon among the nations and tribes of the Old Testament. Israel was no stranger to attack, but the Amalekites were particularly vicious and brutal. They were nomads who lived in the desert, and the way they survived was to attack neighboring tribes, to kill them, and to steal their possessions. We read in verse 8 that without warning or provocation, the Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. It would have been an unexpected and severe blow to Moses and the Israelites, and they wouldn't have known what hit them. And life can be a bit like that for all of us too, can't it? We can't ignore that we all at some point or another face personal battles, spiritual attack, difficult times, disappointments, darkness, and desperation. It happens, doesn't it? Just going about our everyday lives quite happy, and then without any warning at all, bang, something happens and our lives are turned upside down with a problem or a situation the size and the ferocity of the Amalekites. Illness, bereavement, financial or professional insecurity, national chaos, global instability, failure, divorce. I could go on. Spiritual attack is very real. We see it in our world. We hear about it from others, and we experience it in our own lives. The Bible warns us against it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." The reality of spiritual attack in our daily lives is a daily experience. But we also know that God is fighting for us. Just a couple of verses further on in Exodus, which we didn't hear, we are told that God will never stop fighting for us and for the good of humanity and his world. It says, "The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Through Jesus, we have the power and authority to fight the enemy, to bind the enemy from operating in our lives. When we persevere in prayer, we join in this fight that God is already engaged in on our behalf. Ephesians 6 reminds us, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." An early century theologian, Origen, said, "When anyone prays, the angels that minister to God and watch over mankind gather round him and join with him in prayer. The trouble is, when faced with spiritual attack, we sometimes forget this, and we wonder, how will I ever recover from this? Well, I suspect Moses felt like that too, but this is how he handled the situation. First, he takes practical action. The tendency sometimes is to bury our head in the sand and hope that it goes away, or in my case, to want to just stay in bed with the covers over my head all day. But Moses doesn't do this, and this is why. Prior to this attack, Moses had already spent much time in the presence of God. We can read this in the earlier verses in Exodus. He listens obediently to God's commands, and he trusts in the Lord's provision and promises. He has remained faithful to persistently seeking God's guidance and acting accordingly, despite his own doubts and the constant moaning and doubts of the Israelites. He could quite easily have given up, and who could blame him? But he chooses not to, because he knows that God is faithful and his hope lies in him. This means that he is already armed with the right people and the means to practically fight the battle. He sorts out his leader, Joshua. He sorts out his strategy. He sorts out his army, including his own role in the counterattack. God has made sure of all this. Taking practical action that is prayerfully considered and discerned in times of crisis is not a sign of self-sufficiency, but rather a sign of faithful spiritual obedience. It's a sign of trust. With God's help and guidance, Moses takes responsibility for the problem. Second, he knows the power of persevering in prayer. He takes himself away from the action and goes off to pray. He has already spent some time praying, but he prays some more. He perseveres in prayer. When we pray, things happen. Situations can be altered. Pain subsides. Relationships may be restored. Injustices overcome. And spiritual battles won. This reading tells us that whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. I've had to face battles in my life, dark times, despair, bereavement, and uncertainty. And I know for many of you here, difficult, challenging, and destabilizing times are no stranger. But I really want to encourage you that it is also my experience that whilst God doesn't always deliver us from our problems, he always delivers us through them. A bright 5-year-old boy called Johnny knew the power of prayer. His mum was expecting a baby, and Johnny really wanted a baby brother. So he told his dad that he was going to pray every night for 2 months. Well, after 1 month of praying, Johnny began to have doubts. Does God really answer prayer? So after a month, Johnny stopped praying. The next month, his mum went into hospital, and when she returned home, he was delighted to see a little bundle of blue. However, as he moved closer, he saw not one baby brother, but two. His mum had given birth to twins. Johnny's dad looked at him and said, "Now, Johnny, aren't you glad that you prayed?" Johnny thought about this and he hesitated and he looked at his dad and said, "Yes, Dad, but aren't you glad that I quit when I did?" There is power in persevering in prayer. When we pray, things happen. For me, the beauty of Moses in this story is that he reveals himself to be just like us. Rather than the prayer warrior that we often think of him, we see him here as frail, vulnerable and weak, just like we sometimes feel we are. Moses grows weary, but the power of prayer is that God provides through prayer. He provides two wonderful companions, Aaron and Hur, to help him along. When Moses' hands grew weary, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, just as we saw beautifully demonstrated earlier. Well, there are many times when my arms drop in prayer. I don't know about you, and I cannot tell you how much in those times I really appreciate and I'm grateful for the love and support of my Christian friends who encourage me to keep on praying and listening and trusting when all I want to do is give up. When you look around this church this morning, or when you leave outside, you too will notice your own Aarons and Hers. Who are those people who keep you persevering in prayer when all you want to do is give up? Are you humble enough to make yourself vulnerable before them and ask for help? And finally, Moses recognizes that when God answers prayers, we should rejoice in him and praise him. In verse 14, God tells Moses, "Write this as a reminder in a book and recite it." Remembering God's goodness to us and sharing our experiences of answered prayers, especially those that have tested our perseverance, as Francis talked about earlier, it's a real blessing and an encouragement not only to ourselves, but to others. So do you have a story of God's goodness that could encourage someone else? If you do, share it with them. I want to finish by telling you a story that I recently came across, and it's challenged my own prayer life and indeed inspired many prayer revivals across the globe. And it's from this book called The Circle Maker by someone called Mark Batterson. And this is the story. It was back in the first century BC, and a devastating drought threatened utter destruction in Israel. And it seemed God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem who dared to pray, and his name was Hony. Even if people thought they could no longer hear God, Hony believed that they could still hear him. Everybody was desperate. One day, the crowd looked on as Hony took his staff and drew a complete circle in the dusty ground. He stood inside the circle and dropped to his knees, and he raised his hands to heaven. He said these words, "Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy on your children." Everyone was mesmerized. No hint of doubt was in his voice. His prayer was resolute yet humble, confident yet meek, expectant and yet unassuming. You could hear a pin drop. Then it happened. Raindrops descended to the earth. The people rejoiced. They sang and danced over each drop. But Hony's head remained bowed. He lifted his voice over the celebrations and he cried, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that fills cisterns, pits and caverns." The sprinkle turned into a torrential downpour that led to flash floods. It was truly astonishing. However, remaining persistent in prayer, Hony continued, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain of your favour, blessing and graciousness." Then it began to rain calmly and peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace. And they didn't just soak the skin, they soaked the spirit with faith. The persistent prayers that saved a generation were deemed to be some of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle in the sand became a sacred symbol. And the legend of Honi the Circle Maker stands forever as a testament of the power of persistent, faithful prayer to change the course of history. So whatever your need, whatever is your longing and your yearning right now, whatever your battle, whatever your problems, whatever your vision and your desires, pray through them with perseverance. Pray that God will help you to discern the practical action that you need to take. Pray that when you grow weary and feel like giving up, as we so often do, that God will provide those around you to help you to keep persevering in prayer, to keep encouraging you. And finally, pray that as God's power and goodness carries us through these times, we remember to rejoice in him and praise his name for others to see and to hear and to know. Amen.